Daniel Silk, political economy analyst and futurist. Daniel, good afternoon. And once again, thank you so much for being with us on the Overdrive on 101.9 Chai FM.
Yeah, good afternoon. Always a pleasure.
So you've been busy. You've been busy writing. You've had an article published in News 24 last week. The title of the article is "The Default Setting is Defective." And that really piqued my interest. And I thought, what do you mean by the default setting and what about it is defective?
Well, I was referring, of course, to the way the ANC had handled the recent events around the South African economy. And, of course, that's in relation to the pressures felt by COVID. Now, COVID-19 has had a particular effect of, you know, exacerbating the various structural problems in South Africa, highlighting inequality, and also bringing to a fore the need for policy shifts within the country. And my article really refers to the fact is that in reaction to COVID, where South Africa does need now a major injection of fresh policy thinking, we've seen government really recoil back into supporting their own constituency, the constituency of taxi drivers, the constituency of teachers for that matter. They have largely gone back into what I call their lager. You'll remember P.W. Botha went back into his lager in the mid-1980s when he felt pressure. Political parties do that. They go back to their core supporters. They don't take political risk. They're too afraid to. Or the forces within them make it very difficult to really embark upon a policy change campaign. And I largely see the ANC locked into that straitjacket at the moment, unable really to move, faced with a huge COVID crisis within the country and faced with a mounting economic crisis. They haven't been able to, as yet, come to the party with anything more dramatic in terms of policy. Instead, of course, they've resorted to lending and borrowing, which is necessary, but it has to be accompanied by political risk-taking, and I haven't seen anything of that.
Going back to the IMF loan and the 70 billion that's been granted to us, in my naivety, perhaps I had thought that, well, maybe this isn't such a bad thing. Maybe because the funds are coming in from overseas, they'd come in with certain conditions, and for the first time, there'd actually be accountability as to how the money is spent, and maybe that then was not such a bad place to be. What is your take on that?
Well, you see, you raise the important point of accountability, because one of the points I make in my article is that the default for government for the last number of years has been corruption and graft. And unfortunately, the default with the COVID relief monies, not the IMF money, but the COVID relief money, your taxpayers' money, I might add, that default seems to be increasingly towards graft and corruption. So the key issue to me is not so much related to any conditionality regarding this grant. I think the grant was necessary. We are now in an 80 billion rand shortfall in South Africa. We need to make that up. But the issue will be, can we manage this money efficiently and transparently? Because if we don't, it's going to be much more difficult next time to get a loan from the IMF or World Bank. And the conditionality is going to be somewhat more tougher than the very limited conditionality we have currently.
And yet the trust deficit just keeps growing and growing and growing between the ANC and the taxpayers. I mean, for us at this stage to be reading about graft and corruption in connection to the grant of PPE contracts totally connected to this COVID is just, it's so disillusioning, isn't it? I mean, this, and then they still talk about an NHI. Where does that leave us?
It is disillusioning, and of course it makes one really think that if government cannot manage its finances in what is a humanitarian hour of need now during COVID, it really isn't qualified therefore to lead this developmental state project, and included in that is clearly a national healthcare insurance scheme. It really does, I think, point to a rot that's almost, one would want to say, endemic within the state, where the default position is to try and loot. Now, the issue is, can the president turn this around? Can the president turn it around? Because it's unfortunately in the process of tainting his own leadership. And therefore, the pressure now is on him to attempt what could be a very rough period of confronting his own insiders on many of these issues.
Does he have the power to do that, in your opinion, Daniel?
Well, I have argued that President Ramaphosa has been somewhat strengthened in his position as president since he became president. He's not as weak as he was initially. But others would argue that his failure to act on many issues points to him still being relatively weak. I think we are going to see some action on the corruption story over the next few months or so, more than we've seen before. If he doesn't get it right in the course of the next few months or so, then I think he's going to find himself perhaps pressurized from within the ANC as well. So really, I think this is a matter of his political survival as to whether he can get it right. And remember, we still have local government elections breathing down our necks. South Africans are getting increasingly frustrated. And I think this is starting to weaken the brand of the ANC. And we've seen the ANC begin to try and bolster its brand, certainly on Twitter. But that's not going to be good enough if this kind of corruption stuff hits the headlines on a daily basis.